Good afternoon. 1:24 p.m., February 23rd. It's cold and windy and ugly out here, but I'm walking. I wasn't going to, but I thought, I've walked in worse. Put on a sweater, bundle up. I'm still freezing. But I'll be able to go home and have a hot cup of coffee. And I really did want to talk about the way I spent the morning so far. The reason I didn't talk earlier in the day was that, A, the weather's been crappy all day long. It was snowing earlier today. One of the two guys who runs Back My Book, one of the people behind Groundswell Productions, Tay Nguyen, was in town to visit his sister and arranged to have coffee. We actually had breakfast together this morning at a truck stop out on I-25. It was quite a lot of fun. I had originally thought that I might be able to do something like use Back My Book to create the audiobook, but the reality is that the Back My Book product is actually a whole turnkey website system, and that's not something I'm really interested in. If I want to put together an audiobook, all I need to do is to finish putting the files together, zip them up, and put them up at a price tag on my website. Then some people will buy them, I'm sure. Because it's a digital file, I can have it set to automatically download, and I probably would do that. But it was a very interesting conversation that ranged all over the map from concepts of motivation to the real crux of the matter, which was gamification. Now, a lot of people have talked about gamification. The gamification idea is like turning your website into a game. It's not creating a game from your book or anything like that, but it's sort of like earning badges for completing tasks. So, in like a video game, you level up as you accomplish more things. You gain more levels. You gain more skills, better armor, more weapons, whatever. The idea of gamification is that as you progress through the ranks, you get badges to signify your accomplishments, very much like Boy Scout badges or Girl Scout badges. Anybody who's played Foursquare and got a badge or done something similar with social environments like Untappd, where you earn badges for drinking different kinds of beer at different times of the day or night or week or whatever. It's an interesting idea. And something that's been around for quite a while. Foursquare is only one of many places that has talked about it. Foursquare is geographically located, and unfortunately here in Greeley, there's not a lot of people who play along. So, yeah, I can check into places, but it doesn't really mean anything because there's no social. I'm not going to check in and find it. Somebody else has already checked in, and I can meet them there, for example. Well, what he's considering is some sort of social media space for writers that would be sort of like Goodreads, but instead of just the counts of how many books you've read, how many books on your bookshelf, etc., actually earn badges for doing things like leaving a review between 2 and 4 a.m. or reading a certain number of books or reading a particular number of books in a specific genre. So you could be a sci-fi fan or an aficionado or a mystery sleuth or I don't know. We didn't get so far down into it, but the basic idea was quite intriguing. And he wants to have authors earn badges too for having certain numbers of readers, certain reviews at certain periods of time, or he really wasn't quite sure how that might work. And I'm not either, frankly. But I thought it would be interesting to have badges that signify, for example, genre, and that signify level, that signify style of story, and perhaps signify certain plot elements, so that a certain number of ratings for the spaceship could earn the book the spaceship badge. If it's time travel, a certain number of ratings for the time travel badge would earn the book a time travel badge. And then readers who were looking for books that had either spaceships or time travel could search for books that had earned that badge and perhaps find new books in certain areas that they might not otherwise have. I also suggested something based on the experience that Deb Geary and I have had with the idea of tone. And I don't know exactly how we get at that, but Deb and I both write the same kind of character-driven, strong-setting stories that are small and human, even though the people in the stories, while human, are engaged in activities that are not necessarily human or small. So there's some interesting ideas about what kind of badge she and I would have in common, and then finding other books that have the same feel, the same characteristic. And he thought that was a fascinating idea. We talked about it from the perspective of having authors participate, in that if I bring my audience and some other author brings their audience, and if we have something in common, then those audiences can be cross-pollinated in ways that are significant, not to the author, but to the reader. And that's really the point of this whole exercise. In fact, I wonder if having authors involved at all is a good idea. Maybe have it be just a reader site. I don't know. It's a very interesting question. I've been fascinated by thinking about it ever since you raised the issue across the table this morning. So I've been thinking about it a lot. Oh. Well, at least talking to you is distracting me from the fact that it's absolutely miserable out here. I'm in my fleece. I've got a sweater and my parka. I've got the hood pulled up in the coat. And the hood is actually tied under my chin. And I'm not quite, but almost waddling as if I were some 8-year-old in a snowsuit trying to stay warm in the out-of-doors. The temperature itself at 36 is not actually that cold, but the wind, which is gusting, I would say gusting to between 35 and 40 miles an hour, that cuts. It's dreadful. Let's see, what else? Oh, I'm reading a book. Not too surprising. The Swordsman of Carn Nebus by Travis Gregory. It's a novella, 99 Center. I worked with Travis on a new project of his with Brian Humphrey and Dave Robeson a couple weeks back on the Roundtable podcast. That'll be coming out sometime in March. But in the meantime, they were talking about this book that Travis had written called The Swordsman of Carn Nebus. And of course, I had no idea what they were talking about because I hadn't read it. I hadn't even heard the guy before. And so I went and looked it up. and downloaded a sample. I grabbed a sample. It's been sitting on my Kindle, listening on my phone, actually, for several, couple of weeks, anyway. While I finished reading up the last textbook for this course that I'm teaching, another fascinating read by Henry Jenkins. I think it's called Teaching in Participatory Cultures. But I started reading this book by Travis Gregory, and it's really quite good. I sound like I'm very surprised, when the reality is I probably shouldn't be terribly surprised. It's a coming-of-age story, sword and sorcery fantasy, and I'm about halfway. They've had a couple of setbacks. I'm in about the middle of the book, and I am really enjoying it. If you like fantasy, if you're looking for something that's not the typical evil, it has much more of a political overtone to it. It's definitely a coming-of-age story. And give it a try. Grab a sample. See what you think. It's The Swordsman of Karn, C-A-R-N, Nebeth, N-E-B-E-T-H, Travis Gregory. The cover art is adequate. The actual blurb itself needs work, because all I did was take the first couple of paragraphs of the book and place it in as a product description, which doesn't really give you a feel for what the story is about. It just gives you the introduction to it, which in theory is supposed to lead you to the sample, which in theory is supposed to lead you to buy the book. In practice, I think if I had seen it without knowing who Travis Gregory was, I probably would have skipped it just because the blurb, the description said nothing. And the cover is, it's a guy with a sword. It's kind of hard to read. I'm enjoying the book so far. So, yeah. Might be worth looking at. I've had a lot of support in the last few days. Speaking of worth looking at, I had a lot of support in the last few days for my stand on Ride and my willingness to stand with them, even up for them, in spite of the fact that they're not quite living up to what we would all like to see. And the truth is really, I don't think, quite as noble. I am taking a rather long view, and trying to keep that long view in mind, because it would be really easy to take my books back, to just write Riding off and call it a day, and go back to the self-pub, maybe get Kip Ayers to draw me three new covers, etc. But the reality, and my fervent belief, is still that when they're on, Ryden does an excellent job of promoting my work. The artwork for the covers is exemplary. The production values of the books, while Full Share is probably not a good example, Quarter Share was actually a pretty darn good book in terms of its technical merit, in terms of its layout, the fact that it had very few typos, although it did contain several grammatical errors that Ryden thought were stylistic, when in fact it was just clumsiness on my part. But be that as it may, I think it's much more the idea that, as somebody said, it's not a matter of not wanting to establish a confrontation, because I don't really need to have a confrontation. All I need to do is send a registered letter and the books are mine again in 30 days. So I don't really even have to have a conflict or confrontation in order to get the books back. I just have to want to take them back. And at the moment, I still think I can do better with Ryden in the long term than I can in the short term by myself. I may be mistaken, and I could be fooling myself. The problem is that I won't know, because it's all hypothetical. So we'll see. This can't go on forever, and I learned never to threaten. So you probably won't hear me say, if we don't have something happening by X and such a date, I'm going to start kicking butt and taking names, because that doesn't actually work out very well. Because, number one, if I'm going to kick butt and take names, the last thing I want to do is warn them, because I just want to make sure that it happens effectively and efficiently and with as little fuss as possible. And that means if push comes to shove, pretty much the first notice that they'll get is the registered letter at their door. I realize that a lot of people would see that as kind of, I don't know, questionable maybe. But the reality is, something my father said has stayed with me forever, and that don't promise, don't threaten, do. So promises and threatening is really words. And in each case, they can be problematic, as I've found to my chagrin in trying to predict when the books will be released, and then failing, that the promises aren't really worth a lot. And threats, like I said, threats only serve to warn your opponent. I don't want to threaten. I don't want to warn. When it crosses the line, I need to act. And I think that works out pretty well. Oh, and so now I'm in a place where there's no wind. I've come down off a little knoll, and I'm between two tall fences. The wind is still blowing. I can see it blowing through the treetops across the way. But I'm not actually in the wind myself. Instantly worked up a sweat. And I get across the street and there's a car coming. Oh, hawk. A harrier, I think. Might be a broadwing. Looking for some food. There's this half a dozen magpies here in the grass. Keeping a pretty low profile of the hawk in the sky. It's taken quite a buffeting up there in the wind. This cold and with that much work he's doing, he's got to find something to eat pretty quick, I suspect. The amount of wildlife there is in that park, I don't imagine he'll have too much trouble. Whew. I'm glad I worked up the sweat, because now I've turned back into the wind again, and it is cold. It's not blowing through my parka. It's blowing into my hood and behind my glasses. It's freezing my eyelashes. Because my eyes are watering from the wind, and the water from my ears is freezing. Which gives you an idea of just how cold it is. When I got home from meeting with Nguyen, I had to find my trash can. Today was garbage day. The trash can got put out at 7:30 this morning. But of course, without the trash in it, it's pretty light. It's plastic. And it had blown down the street a block and a half to go retrieve it. the joys of living in the Front Range, the exciting life of a full-time author, saving his trash cans, eating at truck stops. Actually, that was a lot of fun. I ate at Johnson Corners, which is kind of a famous truck stop. It's one of the few that has, I think it has a Zagat's rating of like 4. And it's one of the few rated truck stops in the country. And they have really good food. I had biscuits and gravy, which is why I'm not eating lunch. I should probably not eat supper or breakfast tomorrow. But it was so tasty. And the one thing to complain about is coffee. But I've learned that most people don't make coffee the way I do. And then I just have to suck it up. Anyway, I made it. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. I'll talk to you then.